What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We're coming at you from Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Oh, yeah.
We're bringing you the Clippers news 5 days a week.
Sometimes more if fun stuff happens.
No load management on this team.
Not at all, dude.
Anyways, we're going to kick things off with a recap of tonight's, what do you want to call it, a promising loss?
Yeah, we talked about this last year, how there's only so many promising losses you can have. This was the first promising loss of the season.
I agree. So we're going to be recapping that first promising loss of the season to the Milwaukee Bucks. Then we're going to be getting into a preview of tomorrow's back-to-back.
Or today's, depending on when you listen to this.
Today's back-to-back game against the Blazers. So stay tuned for that. And then we're going to be wrapping things up with some Thirsty Thursday talk. We do it every single Thursday, and we are parched.
Oh, yeah.
So stay tuned for all of that coming up right about now.
So we fell to the Bucks at Staples Center, 129-124. It was an encouraging loss.
It was a super encouraging loss. I will say that.
The game was a little weird right off the start. As most of you who listen to this know, Kawhi was load managing, and so we had the starting lineup of Bev, Lou, Sham, Patterson, and Trez.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think anyone was really against that idea.
Do you have, before we dig into what went right and wrong, do you have any immediate reactions to seeing Zubats out of the starting lineup and the Lou and Trez in the place?
Right. I mean, before Trez had, spoiler alert, a career high, mm-hmm. I was a little worried because mm-hmm. it was like they're really big at the 4 and the 5.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They just are. But it ended up working out. The Zoo situation, if we, I guess, want to call it that, is kind of odd. But yeah. He just goes with the hot hand.
Yeah. We'll get into that a little bit more. Like Charles said, Montrezl Harrell with a career high. Patrick Beverley, as we had kind of talked about in our...
He killed it.
Yeah, in our what to look for. He came out offensively. He had a season high, 20 points.
And a season high in boards, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
He had 20 and 10 and great, 2 steals.
Great performance all around. So look, why don't we just, since we're calling this an encouraging loss, let's just start things off with what went well.
All right, we're starting with what went well. Shamet busted out of his slump.
Yep.
4 for 8 from 3. Which was
not a slump, baby.
It just was a slump. It's no longer a slump, which is good. Trez, 34, 13 boards, 5 assists. He's on his second career year in a row.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah, it's, absolutely.
It's insane.
Giannis, who?
Lou had 34 and 11 assists.
Yep.
But
he got blocked kind of rough at the rim a couple times.
Four times.
Which we can talk about a little bit later.
Yeah.
Overall, I mean, I know it might not seem it to look at the score. They did put up a buck 29 on us, but we did really execute our defensive scheme pretty well.
Yeah.
We forced Giannis out of the paint. Over half of his field goal attempts were from outside the paint. We did shoot pretty well from three despite that slow start.
Mm-hmm.
The volume wasn't what theirs was.
They shot 49 threes, which we'll get into in the next little segment, but
yeah. So that we'll need to digest a little bit more into what went wrong. But as you said, yeah, Trez having a second career year, man, what is this guy's ceiling?
A max contract.
A max?
Of course. Yeah. Next year. With how shallow it is, if he continues to play like this,
that's fair. It is kind of a funky year. It's a little unfavorable for the Clippers in that regard. We're gonna have to dig into that. We have to talk about that.
We'll talk about that if he keeps this up.
In a whole segment.
The defensive thing was good because Doc said it in the postgame presser. He was like, they literally had a list of guys who they were like, these guys can shoot threes.
Yeah.
And if they make threes, we're going to lose. And those guys made their shots.
Absolutely.
So we lost.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, fortunately for the Bucks, all the guys that they needed to step up came through.
Yeah.
Yeah. George Hill was nearly perfect from three.
Was he 6 of 7?
Yeah.
Six of seven. Another thing we did well, the team's grit was back. This looked like the team from last year.
Agreed. And in a way that I felt like we hadn't quite seen.
Definitely. The Utah loss was not like this. Suns loss was not like this.
And we've talked about before how even as strong of an identity as this team had last year, when you bring in two stars, it becomes a little bit of a different ball.
There's a lot of gravity.
There's a lot of gravity, and you wonder if like, the guys still have that kind of, like, tooth and nail sort of clawing out of a situation. And the answer is yes.
They did.
The answer is yes. It's still the same identity. It's still the same team. And I think that that is overall the largest thing to take away from the encouraging side of what we're going to call this loss. So let's, we got to talk about what didn't go so well.
Slow start. At one point, Sham and Lou were a combined 1-for-11. They were 6-of-18 at half combined, which was really hard. We started the game on a on the wrong end of a 9-0 run.
Yeah.
Which, you know, obviously sucked.
But I mean, we persevered through.
We definitely persevered through. Giannis destroyed us. He had 28, 16, and 9. With 4 threes, but you live with those threes.
You're going to live with that. Someone on Doc said as much.
Someone on Twitter said that they were upset that Trez didn't close down Giannis on the perimeter more. I don't know what basketball that person watches. You live with... It's like when Rondo shoots threes.
Yeah.
You just live with it, and it sucks. But...
If you have a force that powerful and, like, that's what you're relegating them to...
That's good.
That's like we said in the last segment, I did think that they executed their defensive strategy pretty well. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, unfortunately, everyone else was able to step it up. I mean, really, the end of this game, in my mind, was kind of this Kyle Korver three to end.
Yeah,
this
really bugged you.
It gave me a weird feeling. There's like there's the weird momentum shifters, and they had
it
a
was
huge...
like Final Destination, but with basketball.
Exactly.
You're like,
oh, wait, what? No,
the chain isn't tied on that logging truck.
And we did nearly escape death. But I mean, we won every other quarter, but this second quarter.
Yeah, the quarter we won the first quarter 30-28, which I think surprised a lot of people if you watched the game.
Yeah.
Lost that second one 42-29. Third quarter, we won by 2. Fourth quarter, we won by 4. You know, it just so happened we had our lowest scoring quarter when they had maybe their best quarter of the year.
Yeah.
George Hill killed us. We talked a little bit about that. Also, hope he's okay. He took a weird elbow it was a complete accident by Lou.
Yeah.
But he had to get taken off the court. 6-of-7 from 3. Bledsoe had 20 points. But also the worst turnover of the year. He was trying to inbound the ball, and he just started to dribble.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I'm not even exaggerating. That's just what happened.
Yeah. He had that, and then they had a backcourt violation. It was an interesting night. Great Doc challenge, which turned out very bizarre. That was also...
The coach's challenge is garbage and needs to be thrown out of the league.
That was one of the odder ones, right?
And so my thing is, NBA refs are... creeping towards MLB umpire level of
nope, we got it right the first time.
We got it right the first time. And all this does is reinforce their dumbass behavior.
And also, like, why even bother with the challenge? Yeah. If you didn't see the play, I mean, it's a hard
Bledsoe flop. On a Lou drive, it was crazy. One thing that I think we don't know if it goes wrong until tomorrow, I guess, or tonight if you're listening to this. Mm-hmm. Maybe too many minutes for Lou, Bev, and Trez. I know they didn't practice on Tuesday, but Lou and Trez logged 40 and Bev logged 35.
So
Bev is starting them in the game against the Blazers.
This is worth talking about. I think a little bit more. Who's load managing the load managers?
Well, I talked with Sabrina Merchant about this. Kawhi is.
That's fair.
I think we see Kawhi at his minutes cap.
But there's no way that either of these guys.
I mean, Jerome got a bunch of minutes tonight.
That's fair.
For Jerome.
Yeah. No, that's fair. So, I guess just to wrap up the what went wrong, another team did put up 120-plus on us. Is it something to worry about?
No, because it's the Bucks. They took 50 threes. They shot 40% from 3.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of threes sucks to see, but...
And overall, there were...
We stopped everyone that we had to stop.
Yeah, there were stretches where things looked very promising.
Yeah.
Executing on that game plan. And then, you know, there was effort from everybody across the board.
That was the biggest thing.
So I think that was really encouraging to see.
So this is our new segment we do at the end of game recaps. It's called How We Feeling, and it's just two sentences on how we're feeling after the game. How you feeling?
Clippers are fifth in the West. Not crazy about it, but it is just a three-way tie that's really separating us from a home seat advantage.
Okay. I would say feeling pretty good.
All right.
You know, it's okay. We get Kawhi back.
I'm not crazy about it.
I'm not crazy about it. The team showed grit. We lost to the MVP.
Dude, you have like 80 sentences.
No, there's a bunch of commas in there. Coming up after this, we got a preview of Blazers Clippers. But first, the NCAA is back in action, and it's time to turn your attention from carving a turkey to the Spartans carving up those stupid defenses.
Can't wait.
Cassius Winston returns for his senior year, trying to prove that he has what it takes to bring his ship to Michigan State. He probably doesn't. Use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Put money on them at mybookie.ag.
Best way to support your team. The only way to support your team, if you ask me.
If you join right now, mybookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate your offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA, all capital letters, one word. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right, so
we got the Blazers.
The second game of a back-to-back.
It's at 7:30, which is a normal time for basketball.
That early half hour really threw you off that much?
I was mostly just upset about it because all the people on the East Coast, oh, the city that never sleeps, but, you know, start the games earlier. So you're kind of worried about this game.
I'm not worried. I just think
your
that...
Your note in the pre-show note says, kind of freaks me out.
I just feel like we're already looking at this as a dub, and I think that we've seen that that's a dangerous game to get into.
Okay, I can't argue with that, because I think I deleted a note in here that said, I'm pretty sure we're going to destroy them.
I know you deleted a note that said that.
Well, you know, there's no evidence.
So, yeah, I mean, if you take in a vacuum, we have kind of nearly identical points per game. They're slightly more efficient, but they have had a weaker schedule.
They lost to the Warriors.
They did lose to the Warriors. We lost to the Suns.
Okay, don't disrespect the Suns like that. They're good.
No, that's fair.
The Warriors were without everyone good.
Yeah.
And they lost. No, I kind of... When we sat down and looked at the stats, I was like, okay, we need to lock in on this game. What we need to do well is they have two giant weaknesses.
Yeah.
That is the wings and the paint.
Yeah.
They have no one to defend Kawhi. In fact, they gave us probably their best chance to defend Kawhi in this offseason.
Mo Harkless,
who's not having the best season so far, but I think he's going to turn around. Kawhi should be able to destroy. We should see another 30-plus, 8-8 or something like that.
Yeah.
Right?
I just don't really know who's guarding him. Like, Ronnie Hood, Anthony Tolliver?
No.
Yeah. No,
Hassan? It's like...
I agree. I think that exploiting them on the wing, I mean, we have so many...
And they're Shamit shooting well.
Yeah, we have so many switchable guys on the other end. Mm-hmm. And just a variety of looks to throw at them on the wing, as well as... I mean, we're going to say this for most lineups, but, like, the depth takes a pretty hard plummet.
The depth just... Our bench... This is why I kind of talked about the worry with those Lou and Trez minutes.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, say things aren't working out with the starting five, we're going to need them to do some dirty work.
For sure.
But the nice thing is this bench is not giving us too much trouble on paper.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
We talked about the paint. Here's the current, here's the three Portland centers.
Okay.
Hassan Whiteside.
All right.
Scalabassier, Anthony Tolliver. I'm Zoo and Trez. This is setting up very well. Hassan matches up great with Zoo. I will say that. He's averaging a double-double. The dude is long.
Yeah. I kind of like Zoo in this.
I do too. He's fresh. I'll tell you that. He played 5 minutes in today's game.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more. Sorry, I'm going to double-check. I don't want to disrespect Zoo like that. He was wildly efficient, which is great. He played 8 minutes. He was 3 of 4. And he had 4 boards. So Zoo got a nice little run.
Yeah.
He got the Updike 10, pretty much. But I'm hoping to see, I wanted to see Zoo crush against Gobert. I think it's an easier task against Whiteside for sure. And we could see a, you know, not a career night from Zoo, but things are lining up to where if he wants to make a statement game, he could do it this game.
I think it's an interesting, litmus test against
a classic prototypical big. Because Hassan Whiteside 15 years ago would be like the third best center in the league or something like that.
Absolutely, yeah. I think skill set wise they match up. And, you know, I hope with spending some time on the pine. Zoo is ready to do what Zoo does.
Spending some time on the pine. Damn.
Zoo's ready to do what
Zoo
does.
Need a beat in here.
and just go at everything. I want him to contest everything.
Because Whiteside's aggressive. When Whiteside's locked in, he's aggressive.
I think this could be a fun. I think this could be a fun matchup. But yeah. What else do we need to do well?
I was gonna talk about Zoo, but I'm not sure how many minutes, or not Zoo, sorry, Trez. I'm not sure how much he might play with the minutes. I'm sure he wants to play all the minutes. But no, I want Shamet to just keep hitting that stride.
Absolutely.
I think it's there. I think the Bucks were a slump buster for him. Which, if you know the origins of that word, please hit us up. We'd like to know if we got some people on the same page with us on that. And I think... See, the point guard situation, here's where it gets weird. I think Kawhi's going to have to be in definite point guard mode. Bell's going to be tired, no matter what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, side note, Doc called Bev a rascal in the post-game presser
today? I can't think of a more apt term.
That was hilarious. Kawhi's going to have to be in distribution mode.
Yeah.
And even more so, this sounds, I guess, greedy after what he did tonight. We're going to have to see some more Lou assists.
Yeah, I think his conditioning is at the point that I wouldn't worry about it. I'm really, maybe it's foolhardy. I'm not getting too worried about the minutes of these guys yet.
That's fair.
Trez is indestructible.
Okay. I don't know. Yes, I completely agree. But what could go wrong?
I mean, that backcourt could be trouble, especially if we're a little tired after putting some taxing minutes on two of our core pieces.
Yeah, the Dame and CJ combine for 51, 8, and 11.
All right.
Which is a lot.
Well, Pat Bev still might single-handedly snag more rebounds than
they do. Yeah, Pat Bev will beat them in rebounds, which I think is a big get for us. But
51 is going to be difficult.
51's a lot. This is going to be another situation where they put the list on the board and they say these guys can make shots.
Yep.
And these guys can't. And and definitely two guys who, I think it's literally everyone but Dame and CJ are on that list.
Yeah.
No disrespect to the Rodney Hood hive out there, because he is a player who does have a weird hive, I feel like. But there's two guys who are going to beat us in this game.
Yes.
But possibly Hassan Whiteside could play better than his averages. 14 and 12 is crazy respectable.
Yeah.
Kind of a nice security blanket if Dame and CJ are gassed.
Yeah.
But that's why I said kind of. Because he'll have to be playing phenomenally and put up... He averages 9 shots a game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's putting up 14 points. So if he's going to have to be shooting pretty well. I don't think if Zoo gets in foul trouble, we might be a little,
Yeah.
But I don't know. Whiteside's one of those guys, he's a volatile player. You don't know, you know, he's gotten triple doubles with blocks, points, and assists. Lou did get blocked 4 times in the game against the Bucks, which I hope doesn't happen again.
Oh, man. I don't want to hear about that.
But I think those
I don't
are,
relive that.
But really those are the two biggest things.
Yeah.
Right? There's not like, I mean, Rodney Hood could go off. I feel like I'm kind of weirdly being anti-Rodney Hood right now. But he did just take a cheap shot at Jordan Poole, which is funny. People are really upset about that. But no, I just think, I feel like those are the two things that go wrong.
All right, great. So what should we be looking for in these matchups?
Just Bev and Sham and Kawhi versus Dame and CJ.
Okay.
Because we might see Kawhi in one of those guys.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, I think that's probably where he's best used in looking at the lineup.
Yeah, like maybe you put Shamet on Hood.
Yeah.
The lesser of the evils, obviously, between those three.
Yeah. And I think that's a little bit of a better assignment for him. It just depends on how much of a defensive load you want Kawhi carrying.
Yeah.
Which
I think with the days after it should be all of it.
I think so too. I think that's reasonable to expect.
Yeah.
To expect some significant minutes and significant contributions on both ends of the floor. I mean, if not
now, really then when?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no disrespect. We're also pro load management, so you can deal with that.
Yeah.
The last time that this duo, that Bev and Sham met CJ and Dame, CJ and Dame put up 55, 7, and 16, right. while Bevan Sham put up 15, 3, and 9. So that's got to change.
Yeah.
Bev's shooting also came out of the woodwork against the Bucks, which is great. What did you say? What did you call it, a renaissance?
Oh, he's having an offensive renaissance.
Will had one of those old goofy hats on. He was painting oil canvas in the press box. Free throw attempts versus free throw attempts.
Mm-hmm.
Blazers rank 6th in free throw attempts per game. While we're number one, of course. But yeah. 6 is still, you know, almost top 5. So, we've been getting frustrated with the refs this year. I've noticed, I feel like there's been a lot of chatter to the refs.
Yeah.
So far.
Do you think that they are getting drunk with power with the new challenge?
The refs are out of control. The thing that makes me a little psyched about this, though, is the Blazers are allowing the most free throw attempts a game to opponents.
Yeah.
So, if things aren't going well, let's just get to the line.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, right. Kawhi's great at that. I don't know.
Has not been an issue.
Has not been an issue. You want to read this last one?
Kawhi versus everybody.
Dude, F everybody. This is the game.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it, but yeah. Show them why you load manage.
Show them why you load manage, dude. Show them in a Western Conference game that matters more than a game against an Eastern Conference team.
Yeah.
Show them why we do this. Put up 32, 12, and 6.
Yeah, we don't need Kawhi playing those, you know, plumbers and mailmen.
Over on the East Coast? What is this? Neely Wake. Algonquin for next game. I want to see Kawhi crush. I think he will. What's your prediction for this game?
I'm predicting a dub. I don't have a good score prediction. I feel like I was so far off on the Bucks score.
You were kind of close.
I think I had it like 108, 118 or something. I was not very close.
Not very close. I think Clippers are winning. I think we're putting up a buck 22.
All right.
And I think the Blazers are putting up a buck 11.
All right.
Kind of some number alliteration there with the 3 1s and the 2 2s, but you know, what are you going to do? Let us know what you guys think is going
to
happen.
Yeah. Oh. Let us know what you hope to see in our next segment, Thirsty Thursday. We're going to be letting you know what we hope to see some more of.
All right. So I'm thirsty for Paul George to come back.
I think it's time. There's
tonight was great, though. He was warming up. I was watching him take shots. His vibe was there.
I was going to say he had a vibe today. I don't know what it was. I don't even know how to explain it, but he was like,
I'll tell you what the vibe was. It was, he was wearing a beautiful suit
and
he was wearing Vans with it.
Yeah.
And when you see someone successful wearing a nice suit and Vans and they're pulling it off, dude, they're in a good mood.
Absolutely. Yeah, he was like, he was chopping it up with people.
Yeah.
It was like that thing where you're saying that you're available via email from work on your vacation, but you haven't been at all, but you fire off a few confident emails as you're about to board the plane.
For sure. He will be making his return either against the Rockets next Wednesday or the Pels on Thursday.
Okay.
My favorite part of this is that per The Athletic, if he plays one, he's going to rest the other. And Kawhi is going to do the same. So Paul George is going to make his debut without Kawhi.
Oh, yeah.
And it is going to make people so upset. And I'm just now, I'm taking this weird heel turn with it.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, I love people being upset at load management.
I love it.
I don't know what people expected.
Yeah.
I just don't know what people thought they were going to see this year. Yes, the team said it wasn't going to be as crazy in Toronto. He took a whole week off in January in Toronto.
Yeah.
I don't think that happens.
I don't know. I just don't know.
I don't know what people want expected.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't want to keep harping on the same thing because I feel like it's something that's going to come up so often.
But he has like a degenerative quad issue.
Yeah.
Like, it needs to be managed.
Yeah. I just think that this is a smarter way to play.
Yes.
If you can afford to do it, I don't know why you wouldn't do it.
Everyone who thinks load management is dumb also believes in the power of smelling salts, I would say.
Or cupping or
tape. Kinesio tape, yeah. Paul George will begin practicing 5-on-5 on Saturday, which is exciting. Another thing we're thirsty for, this is kind of weird. No more conflicting Clippers stadium lawsuits.
Okay.
So the Clippers won. It was ruled in favor that, you know, their stadium, that it can continue basically being developed.
Yeah, but, so it didn't violate any of the rules for, like, public lands in Inglewood.
Yeah.
Essentially, a group that mainly what they do is, like, this affordable is where it
gets,
housing.
This is where it gets hard.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a couple wrinkles in here that will throw you off.
Yeah, the lawsuit was that they assessed that, essentially, they had kind of first rights to this land, or like affordable housing did, or public lands that could be used for education or recreational public programs. So they lost.
Sounds terrible.
It sounds...
Because it kind of is.
It is kind of terrible. But what ended up happening was they said that it couldn't be housing due to the being in the flight path of LAX.
Yeah,
And it was kind of going to be a noise issue, so it could be zoned for commercial usage.
Which, if you've never lived underneath a flight path, my father did in Seattle, it was horrible.
Yeah, still a bit of a bummer if you think about, like...
Definitely. Maybe, I'm not trying to say it like that.
Maybe diverting land from some of those things to something that's definitely just a commercial interest, but the mix gets a little stickier, you would say, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, MSG...
I was going to say, you might ask, who is...
Is footing the bill for the lawyer fees for these from these groups, which has another layer of complexity to this whole thing that, I don't know, it's really hard to parse about my feelings for it. So I love what they were to be a little bit more, like, clearly defined or I don't know.
It feels like a noir almost.
That's a good call. It's very Chinatown.
Like,
it's
like, nah, we'll give you the money if you go and try and take out. We know you need your houses. And they're like, yeah, man, we're screwed. Like, because they're in a tough position. There's obviously, I'm assuming.
Housing issue.
It's also very difficult for a group like this to be able to afford to take the Clippers to court.
For sure. Yeah.
But you can use a not as expensive lawyer as the Clippers have, and I'm sure they probably did. But you're just behind the eight ball so much. So the fact that it even got this far is like, but yeah, it was so weird reading the article. It was in the OC Register of just like, okay, psyched we got the thing, bummed that the group lost, but also happy that, because MSG wasn't looking out for these people.
I just can't believe so.
They're only doing it to mess with the Clippers. And I'm not saying that the Clippers should take this as a huge victory or that we should think anything like that. It's just, the stadium issue is a murky, there's cons.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's fantastic. The Clippers are going to have their own home. It's great. But there's giant issues with bringing in a giant stadium like this.
Especially into an area that's rapidly becoming crowded with stadiums.
Gentrified.
For sure. Like,
and so it's just a really, I don't know. I mean, I'm happy about the stadium. I feel torn sometimes. I love the idea of it. And they do have a situation in there where the Clippers have to hire a certain amount from the local area, which is great to provide jobs and stuff. And the land is not, you know, it's not homes.
That's right. They're not already, tearing down existing homes.
I feel like Mr. Burns has been saying that, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's that thing of like, you know, they could use it for homes, but they're not because they can't even use it. And it's like, well, I don't know.
That's a good call. Yeah, so it's a little conflicting. Anyway, you got anything else that you're thirsty for?
I'm just thirsty for this win against the Blazers, man. I'm taking my glasses off. I'm rubbing my temples. Let's get this dub. Here's a selfish thirst.
What do you got?
I want to get a win so I also, we don't have to deal with an entire weekend because we don't play again until Monday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I don't want to go through a whole weekend of us being 5-4.
I'm thirsty for not like 20% of our games being back-to-backs.
Yeah,
let's move on from this.
Yeah, I'm tired. Well, we have a back-to-back next week.
I know we do.
It's crazy. Shout out to the NBA for really effing us over on that one. Thank you so much for listening. Sorry we got kind of, I don't know, solemn at the end.
That's what you get
levels with Locked On Clippers. For Friday's episode, we'll have a recap of the hopeful win against the Blazers.
We will have a Pacific Division power ranking.
What the hell is going on in the Pacific Division?
It's topsy-turvy, buddy.
And then we're having a love, marry, kill. What's it about? Absolutely no idea.
Whatever strikes is what we'll be loving, marrying, and killing.
Figure it out. Again, thank you for listening. Please check us out on iTunes, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. We're on Spotify. If you're a local business and you want to advertise, give us a shout. We will literally advertise anything.
Yeah, you could
for the most part.
You could reach a ton of Clipper fans every single day. We're not going to list numbers, but send us an email. You know, we can get into things.
And if there's one thing Clippers fans have historically, it's a bunch of extra money to spend. So thank you guys for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.